Praise the name of the Lord. I want to say good morning and welcome to Only Believe right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Amen. This is a great day, and I know that because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And we're just going to lift him up and exalt him today. And let your worship just express to God how thankful you are for what he's done for you. And make sure that this is a time that you are participating in your opportunity to just step into his presence and enjoy what God has for us, okay? Amen.
Amen. Let's worship this morning.
But I try with all. that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave. He picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because you healed my heart and changed my name. We'll be right back.
Great meant for me, where my sin lay. What you spoke, yeah. come up here and let us pray for you. We're going to believe, we're going to pray in agreement with you that he's never, never not going to do what he says he's going to do. Amen. That his promises are yes and amen. And that when he says it, he does it. And when he does it, it's finished. Amen. We're just going to agree. If you've already been prayed for this, just agree. Well, just tell us. Just agree with me on this. If this is the first time you're believing for this, then we're going to pray that miracle over you. Amen.
Jesus, you change everything.
God. Thank you, worship team. They're so faithful.
Yes.
I'm sure their voices are going, and they got to practice after this service. But bless y'all. I love y'all.
Amen.
The best worship team in the world.
Amen.
Amen. In my opinion. Hallelujah. Well, what we got going on? Okay. He ran. We'll come back. Wait till he comes back in. I'm going to get him.
Who?
We were playing Two Truths and a Lie yesterday.
Oh, you're not doing that.
Oh, I'm getting him.
You're not doing
and
that.
And Logan's like, I don't know.
Honey, let's
so we made a joke stop. That we'll say in the morning. Okay, so you ready now, Logan?
Leave him.
Why are you being protective of him? It's usually my job. We're kind of backwards right now. But we had a great time. It was cold.
Yeah.
Finally, we got wisdom and brought our chairs inside.
Amen.
But we stayed like outside for like an hour and a half, something like that.
Ooh.
And then I'm like, okay, we're going in. We came in and we just had a great time, just fellowshipping. Amen.
Yeah.
Just being together. And I got yelled at for not having coffee and something hot on a cold day like yesterday. That I deserved it. Amen. So we had a great time. Thank you to everybody who braved the weather with us and came out.
Yeah.
We just enjoy being around you. Amen.
Amen.
So what else we got going on?
Well, I think we have the men's breakfast coming up soon.
Next Saturday?
Yeah.
Amen.
And so that'll be exciting.
9 o'clock over at the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome.
Yep.
And then women, we have our women's Christmas party December 1st. Every woman is invited, not every man. Every woman is invited. There's a sign-up sheet out there. We have such a good time. What did I say it was? Okay, you know. We've been in the presence of the Lord. My brain's stuck on him. You have to give me some grace. And I do this about every service. So if you haven't joined us, then welcome to the mess-ups of Pastor Regina. Amen? But that's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
I think we're going to start around noon, go for a couple hours. And Lisa, are we going to do the same games? Because Lisa and I have to defend our title. Right? Because Susan and Becky, sorry. We were the champions.
Amen.
Okay, so what else have we got going on? I think that's it for now, right? What? Oh, hey, Logan, we've been waiting for quite a long time. Are you ready now with your two truths and a lie? All right, I'm good. You good?
Yes, I'm good. Okay, well, at this time, we're going to let the children go to children's church. And release them. And then we're just going to take a quick look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad and he is given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." So this says that God will increase you as you become a sower and a tither and a giver, that God works with you, and as you begin to sow bountifully, he will help you reap bountifully, and God helps us in every measure, and that he will let all grace abound unto you so that you will have the ability to handle all the things that come across your path in life, and he'll be able to help you resolve everything that you need resolved, and he'll just touch what you have as you give to him and let him be the lead of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we take up the offering today, we just give you praise, God. We just give you thanks and give you the goodness, God, of just knowing that you take care of us, Father, that you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and that, God, You are the caretaker of what we do, and when we give, we're dishonoring you, and you come and you touch it and you bless it and you increase us, God, because your grace is abounding towards us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Morning, we're going to talk about God's grace. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And it says in Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then over here in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4:3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So every one of us is given grace. And that's a good thing, because grace is the free and unmerited favor of God. It's as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of his blessings. Obviously, grace is a gift. God has anointed us with grace. And grace is a gifting of God to do something, to do things for us that we cannot do on our own as men and women. We cannot do things without God's help and without his grace. Amen? And so we want to just look this morning at the fact that God's grace is good to us all the time, and that he's always looking to do what he can do for us and touch our lives in this way that is just supernatural. It says in Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So it is good to know that it's by grace that we're saved. You know, it's not by works. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. Amen? The only way you get to go to heaven is by the grace of God. And what that is that you have to reach out to him and declare his son your Lord and Savior of your life. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't work your way into things with God. All you can do is lean on his grace and mercy and just let him give you what he loves to give to us. Amen? Because God is a God of love, and he's a God of caring and compassion, and he loves to give us these things. And he loves to be able to give us grace and be able to touch our lives and be able to just move on our behalf. It's what keeps him going. It's what makes him excited to be able to be who we are. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, for your rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you ward. For we write none other things unto you than what we read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge them, even to the end. as also you have acknowledged us in part that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see that God's people are rejoicing in the fact that by the grace of God, we've been saved and we've been put into a secure place in his love and his mercy. You know, it is amazing because since we are seated in God, nothing can snatch us out of his hands. If you don't walk away from the Lord, he's with you forever. Amen. And there's nothing that the enemy can do. There's nothing that the world can do. There's nothing that anything can do except for you. You're the only one that can separate yourself from God's grace and his mercy and his love. And so let's make sure that we never do that to ourselves. Let's make sure that we never put ourselves in a position where we are separated from God because we choose something that the enemy's trying to bring against us to make us turn from God. I want you to know that no matter what your struggle is and no matter what situation you have going on, the best place you can be is in the Lord. Amen? You know, sometimes things happen in life that we cannot explain and that we didn't expect and that are opposite of God's will, but they happen to us as believers. But even when things are tough and things are happening for us that are very difficult, the best place we can be is in the hands of the Lord. Amen? And when we are in the hands of the Lord, things can turn around for the betterment. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That was in sin hath reigned unto death even so much. So might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So here's what's an amazing thing is that no matter what, even though sin may abound or something difficult may be abounding, grace does so much more abound and will overcome that sin and that situation and that toughness of what you're experiencing. God overcomes it. Amen? And he will help you in every aspect and every facet of overcoming because he's a good and loving God and this is just what he does. Says in Titus 2, chapter 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great Lord God and our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I want you to understand something. That the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, and that we, all of us, have the right to reach out and grab a hold of the grace that God has extended towards us. And I pray that each of us have done that in this house and we'll continue to do so, so that we can walk with God in everything that he has for us. Amen? I want to go right over here to Titus 3 and verse 7. It says, in verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So I want you to know that you're an heir today, an heir to eternal life, and you have a guarantee that you are going to go to heaven and that you're going to have a permanent place in the hands of God. Amen? And we want to be thankful that we get the opportunity to be heirs and to be those children that are going to go to heaven and be a part of God's kingdom forever. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to read here out of Romans 6. We're going to read here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, if you're walking in newness of life and you're walking in grace, grace, remember, is God's ability to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. So if you are walking in grace, then the sins that be easily beset people and turn people into sin so freely and easily should not easily come upon you. Because you have a grace by come upon you supernaturally by God, that when you're tempted, God will help you. Amen? And we have a grace that's bestowed upon us by the Lord, that when he helps us, he keeps us from sin, and he can keep us from things that seem to be so easily upon other people. In fact, because we're saved, there's things that we can get through and overcome, and things that we get the victory over that people that do not have Christ don't get victory over. Amen? And this is the goodness and the blessing of God, and this is what helps us when we are looking forward to God. God has anointed us. Grace is a gifting to do those things upon us that cannot be done within the world. You know, when we come under attack and things are coming against us, God with his grace is all around us. Remember, we read in Luke chapter 20, chapter 2, that the grace of God was upon him and was upon Jesus. And if the grace of God is upon Jesus, the grace of God is upon us, right? So that when things come and battles come our way, all we have to do is look up and start asking the Lord to help us, because his grace is right there for us. Amen? You know, we would not recognize sin unless God's grace would reveal it to us. Amen? And so God's grace is revealing to us all the time things that help us learn that we don't have to be a people that are in sin or walking in sin. Romans 12, verse 16 says this to us. Or Romans 6, 12, I'm sorry. Romans 6:12 says this to us. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So we understand that because we're under grace, we're not under the law. But that doesn't mean that we sin because we're not under the law. It means that we don't sin because we're not under the law. It means that grace is that supernatural help from God to keep us from sinning, and that supernatural help from God to help us do what is right and what we know to do that's right. So we need to make sure that in our life we're looking at this thing and we're understanding that we don't sin, that we lean into grace, and grace strengthens us so that we get beyond sin. Grace strengthens us so that we don't live a life of sin. I want you to know that you might not know this about me. Some of you probably do. But when I was a younger man, I used to fight and do stuff, all kinds of stuff that would not be pleasing to God at all. But when I got saved, all of that left me. And before I knew it, I couldn't even get in a fight if I wanted to. I mean, it just left me. And before I knew it, all of a sudden I understood that all that time I was fighting, I was hurting people that God may have wanted me to introduce myself to. If I had been living for him, he may have wanted me to be around those people and I could have helped those people. And here I was out there sinfully beating up on people and fighting all the time and doing stuff like that. And here all of a sudden God just began to speak to me. And as he saved me, he just redeemed me from that. And now I couldn't hurt a fly. But I want you to know something, that God is a God that will redeem us so that he can make us into who he wants us to be. I want you to know something, that the Bible says that the world was without form and void until God spoke to it. Amen? And the world was sitting here, this big, beautiful planet was sitting here, but it had no life in it because the word of God had to be spoken to the planet in order for it to turn into what it was supposed to be. That's why in the beginning of Genesis, you see the Lord say, let there be light, and let there be these things that starts turning ground in the land, and the seas put them in their borders and created oxygen and all the stuff that we experience now. And this is how it is for us as people. Until we get saved, we don't have the potential to be who we're supposed to be. We're without form and void until the word of God is spoken to us. Amen. And it's when the word of God is spoken to us by grace that we start becoming who God wants us to be. Amen. And so today I just want to encourage you to know that God is at work in you right now, and that all you got to do is let the word of God continue to work on us, and we'll continue to become who God wants us to be. Amen. And we'll no longer be without form and void, but we will be the people that God wants us to be. And we'll be created in his image and be exactly what he wants us to be. Amen. I want you to know that your grace that God has put upon you can help change your life and change situations. I remember when we first got started on this journey of faith, Regina and I didn't even have a vehicle. This one time when we first got started on this journey of faith, and somehow God gave me a job where I didn't even have a vehicle to drive to work every day, and he gave me a man from that job that would take me to work every day and another guy that would bring me home. So here I was living on with no car, but I had a job that was 15, 20 minutes away from my house that I could get to every day by someone else taking me there and bringing me home. And then God touched a man that worked there, and he gave us a car for just pennies on the dollar compared to what it was worth. And I bought a car from a man that worked there. And that's how our journey just began, with God bringing provision our way. And I want you to know that God will bring provision your way. And God will touch your life in great ways. I'm sure that if I went around and asked, I could get testimonies of people who would have a moment where the grace of God really came through for them, and where they saw God do something for them that they didn't know that he could do. Amen? In fact, here in a few moments, I might ask for a couple testimonies. But what we need to know about God and about his grace is that his grace is so supernatural, it's above anything that we can experience without him. And that his grace is so abundant and so good that we need his grace in every aspect of our life. And right here where I was reading, if the Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and its lust thereof, if the Bible says that to you, it's letting you know that sin does not have authority over you. We, you know, sometimes as believers, we live so long believing that sin still has authority over us, when it does not have authority over you. You have the power to break that off of you by being the person you are in God. Amen. And when you ask for God's grace to come upon your life, then God will actually give you the power and the authority to make sure that you don't fall down to that stuff anymore. But you got to be willing to pay the price and make sure that God is truly your Lord and Savior. Amen. Because he's the one that has the power to help you get over that. And he's the one that has the power to help you live that way. It says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under God's grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether it be of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. I want you to know something, that you have to make the decision that you're not going to be a servant under Satan anymore. And you have to make sure that you're going to be a servant unto the Lord so that you get to live an eternal life in the blessing of his goodness and his kindness. Amen? Hallelujah. Now we're going to go back in the Old Testament for a minute, because we're going to look at a young man who chose to walk after the Lord. And we're going to look at a young man in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm just going to go to verse 39, so I'll tell you the backdrop on this story. This is about King David before he was king, and when he was going to have to fight Goliath. And David went down to where the Israelites were at war with the Philistines. And the Philistines had a big, huge giant who was coming down and telling him that he was going to fight whoever the Israelites would send forward to him, and whoever won, if the Israelite beat the Philistine, the Philistines would serve Israel. But if the Philistine beat the Israelite, then the Israelites would have to serve the Philistines. And David heard about it when he went down to check on his brothers, and so everybody else was scared to fight. But David went out, and David was willing to go to the king and tell the king about his experience and why he was willing to fight Goliath. So we're going to look at this story, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with armor, and he put a helmet of brass on his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he said, I had not proved it. In other words, Saul was trying to give David his way of doing things, and Saul was trying to put on David his armor. And David said, I can't wear this because I haven't proved it. You know, your faith in the grace that God has given you is enough for you and God. And all you have to do is exercise your faith that you have in the grace that is God upon you, and you will see the supernatural of God. Amen? And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And this he slung was in his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth and ruddy and of a great fair countenance. And the Philistine said, David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Isn't it amazing that the Philistine came to David out of his anger and his strength, but David said, hey, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And because David had the grace of God within him, see, here's what I want you to know. When you stand with grace behind you, man, not even a giant can stand in front of you. And when you have the grace of God working on your behalf, the issues of life can never be too big, and the things that come after our life are never going to be too big for us when we have the grace of God upon us. Amen? Hallelujah. All this assembly shall know that there's that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw their champion was dead, they fled. So here's what I want to tell you is that here we see that a young man's faith allowed grace to come upon him, and he was able to do something that by himself he would not have been able to do. Amen? And he was able to tackle this big giant that was coming at him. And I want you to know something, that you might not have a physical giant that you're fighting today. Maybe you have a financial giant that you're fighting with. Maybe you have a health battle that you're fighting with. Maybe your giant today is a health battle that you're fighting with. But I want you to know something, that grace in God is enough to help you out of every situation that you're facing today. Amen? And the grace of God is able to help us overcome whatever battle is coming our way. Amen? You know, if you have a financial battle, we need to remember that the Bible says that God will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that the Lord says, I'll meet all of your needs according to my riches and glory. And then we need to use our faith. Faith says this, that if you sow, you will receive. Amen? And so whenever we have a battle, we need to get grace involved in our battle. Amen? And the way we get grace involved in our battle is we allow God to be the one who instruments and orchestrates what's going to happen in our situation. Amen? And we allow God to move on our behalf. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just exalt you this day, Father God. Lord, we lift you up and we give you praise today, Father God. And Father, I thank you that your grace is upon each and every one of us, Father God. And because of your grace, we can weather any storm, Father God. Lord, because of your grace, we can come through what the world cannot come through, Father God. We can face on a day-to-day basis what the world cannot face, Father God. Lord, right now, we know that you're working on our behalf, God, and in every area of life, God, you're working to help us accomplish what needs to be done, Father God. And Lord, I pray that each one of us are in the scriptures and that we're reading, God, and that we're looking towards you, Father God, with everything that we have, Father God, because you will guide us and you will cause grace to be birthed in our thoughts, Father. You will cause grace to come forward, Father, so that we can have you operating on our behalf. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we have a couple prayer requests. Heather is requesting prayer for her and her daughter. Father, we just pray for Heather and her daughter, Father God, Hannah, Lord God, that right now, Father, you know what they have need of, Father God. Lord, you know what they have need of, Father, and I pray that provision is coming their way, Father God, and even right now, Father God, you are loosening things into her life to help her and her daughter, Father God, that you're just going to bless them, Father God, and you're just going to bring them through whatever they have need of, Father God, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, Father, we pray for the Roof family right now, and we pray for their son, Chad, Father God. And, Lord, we just pray that healing would come, Father God. Lord, that you'd come and that you would heal and you would set free, Father God. And, Lord, that you would just work on his behalf, Father God. And I pray that you do this right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I know that we had prayer earlier, but is there anybody else that needs prayer in here? I will want you to know that I'll be here for you. And in the meantime, I thank you for being here today. And we just declare the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.